Hello and welcome to the Gossip Stone podcast, where we cover the Ocarina of Time randomizer. We focus primarily on the racing and the competitive scene, as well as various other related topics for the community as a whole. Hello, everybody. This is Emo Soda here, joined, as always, with my co-host, Chuckles.
Hello. Thank Christ the quals are over, eh?
Whew. Yeah, that was a time for sure. We'll get into that in just a little bit here. Joined as well, as always, by Jimbo as well. Hello.
Yo, what's going on? Happy to be here, as always, with you both.
Yeah, episode 60. Wow. that's a milestone. Wasn't really looking forward to it, especially, but hey, glad we're still on the air here. Talking about randomizer.
We're close to two really big milestones.
Oh, what was that?
We've got episode 67.
Oh. Oh my god.
Episode 69.
Oh, there you go. Hey, we'll get there this year. Probably.
Might get
67 for sure.
Christmas 69 episode.
Yeah, we could do that.
We should just cancel the podcast before 67.
No, we'll skip over it.
What if we actually skipped over it? Yeah,
66, then 68, then 70. Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, let's actually do it. And then do 60. We'll do like 66.5 and then 68.
Well, in either case, we'll be talking about season 9, the main tournaments, today on this wonderful episode. And before we get there, we kind of have to cover the back half of qualifiers. The last time that we had an episode was basically the halfway point. I think we covered up to qualifier 10. And a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, people have qualified. I think we were getting to the point before. Yes, our people are qualified.
Thank you, Chuckles.
Yes, that is true. People have qualified.
Like before, we had like eight people who were like over the threshold that we were expected it to be, and we were saying the threshold was going to be 3700 for the whole thing, and we actually that basically was it, wasn't it? Like after drops it was 3692. I don't know, I can't remember exactly what it was, but we were right on the mark there.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it works out sometimes, you know.
I really thought that you were gonna make it this year, Emo, and then because we, I think, originally thought that Zavi was gonna opt out, based on comments that we read in different like Discord channels and whatnot, and then in the end, he ended up opting in, obviously. So it was kind of a feels bad. Because you were like right there.
Yeah, well, I guess we can talk about that right now. So I didn't have a great qualifier. I think 5 and 6, they just weren't that good for several different reasons. One of them was like a super jet. E-Cola, of course, wins it. But he was very far ahead of everybody. So the points just dropped off way too dramatically. Even if I did well in it, still probably wouldn't have been good. So basically, at that point, I had a 940, a 925, a 900, and 877. So I needed two 940s, basically, is like the rough math to like actually be solidly into top 32. So I got a 905 and a 927. So like a little bit short, knocked off the 877 scores. I've got only 900 plus scores total. 86 was my ending score total for qualifier. So after drops and everything, I was 7 points off.
Yeah, that's so rough, dude. I mean, yeah, it was hell of a showing from you this year though in quals, seriously.
That was really good.
Yeah, I just felt bad when that happens. Well, I
originally I was like, you know, right after the race, it was like, oh, you're like 36 or like 38 or something. It's like, oh, okay, well, it's over. Like, you know, I can go do my own thing. And then, like, I don't know, like, four people dropped or something. I was like, oh,
like, okay. Yeah, like, whoa.
Shelter's in now? Okay. So I just kept refreshing the list to, like, okay, well, surely everyone plays, right? And then it was just, there's just Zavi. It's like, okay, well, all right. So I was just kind of waiting all weekend, basically, until Monday. But, yeah, it's true. I'm Bubble Boy for Season 9. Which is it's okay. It's all right. I've gotten over it by now, for sure. It's been like a week or two, but yeah, I'm top seed for Challenge Cup. Same tournament that Chuckles is in as well here. You ended up, I think, fairly high, given some of the performances at 48th. It's pretty good.
I think it was 46 in the end.
46? Okay. Ooh. A little bit better than you thought, I think. Yeah, I was gonna go maybe.
Yeah, it was. I just had a miserable like qualify period, and it all came down to one race where I was on restream on Challenge Cup and on TSG. And like I just like did stupid logic, thought something was behind an item. Like the hover boots was behind the Din's Fire, so I was just missing those two items, and they were both just right next to each other in DMT, and I got the Din's Fire, and then I left, and I just left the hover boots. I would have come. I would have come top seven, and I would have got like 960 points. And after that, I was just like, I'm done. I'm just like zero motivation now. It's just like probably won't get into top 32 anymore with a 700 and a zero, so it was just like, yeah. But I think, like, talking of that qual though, there was one good thing about that qual, and that was the EU morning qual, the first of the EU morning quals. And the last time we left the podcast, we were like, I was saying, right, next qual is the EU morning qual, how many people are we gonna get? And it was brilliant. Absolutely, people came out and people joined in EU morning. So that was qual 9, 61 runners. EU morning qual, one of the actual highest of the quals. Way higher than the NA afternoon quals or the NA evening quals. Like they really sucked this year. They really 43. The last qual was 40 for the 10 Eastern on the second to last day. And everyone's always been like, oh, nobody will play EU mornings. Well, nobody will play the NA afternoons and the NA evenings. Get them off the schedule. That's it. Only EU ones from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say overall they seemed like they were a big success. But then, like, think about it, like, in this community, really, I feel like the majority of this community is French, right? So it's like it only makes sense that, like, you're gonna get more people most likely at that time, right, than you would
at, I've actually not done any kind of like analysis of like the top 32 and the top 96, but my general consensus is that 60% of the community is European. And 40% of the community are non-European. I could quickly like count down, but just kind of having a quick glance at the names, you're right, there's just so many French runners, just like Ecola, Ayasuna, Ryukane, Flush is Belgian, then you got German, Zavi, Sedi, Duke is Belgian as well, I think, Rafa's French, Alexis is French, Volk is French, Nopons is French, Mifrucci's French. And I'm only down to 20. I'm only down to 20 at the moment. Like Say, Marco, Machi, Challensoir. It's actually Schulzer. Like it's actually all French and Germans, basically. And then dotted every so often, you know, Mario, Flea, Exodus, Zeph, in terms of the North Americans. Like, I don't think there's no South Americans this time around. No Fer or Louis Ferns or Scarlet or anything like that. And no Asians and no hypers, no Australians either. So all loaded on two continents this season.
Yeah, we had Sora, Hyper, Tito, all opted out of the main tournaments. A few other ones out of Challenge Cup as well. But I think the real story is there's only two players that managed to get over 4,000 points. One got very close, basically 4,000, but it's E-Cola and Mr. Mario. I mean, who would have guessed it, right? Like, probably the two front runners to win the whole thing right now. Both did extremely well. And E-Cola was the only person to get four 1,000 point scores in qualifiers. I think he won like, oh man, how many qualifiers? Like, feels like he won half of them or something crazy, but I don't actually know.
I don't know either. All I can say is that guy is so cracked at this game. Yeah. It's just unreal. Like, to see, like, he started out as a grinder, and I'm pretty sure he was a scrub when he first started, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, just, like, his growth has just been insane in this game. And, like, just to see, like, the way he's performing now is, you know, it just shows that, like, you know, the more you play this game, like, it's rewarding in a sense to where, like, he should be at the top, right? Like, because he plays all the time. So, like, I like seeing good performances out of him just because of that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the sheet here. Apparently, he's the only player to have won multiple quals, and he won five of them this season.
Yeah, that's insane, dude.
Yeah. Just first across place. Different seed types, and, like, it's crazy. The consistency and just the level of excellence that he's at is definitely something to aspire to, for sure. And I think it's great also that the two highest seeded players, one's VC, one's emulator. So, like, it's not really a question of platform anymore. I don't think it has been for a long time, but there's a similar mix among the top 32 here. There's some emulator players, but I think the majority play VC. I didn't actually sit down and count it out, but it's something close like that. So I'm glad that at least, like, platform parity is not, like, really an issue anymore. Like, it used to be seen that way, but yeah, it's qualifiers were they were something else. I think they were very competitive for the most part. I mean, it's among the top 32. It's like, you know, not counting like the extreme top end, it mostly tops out at 3,900, the total qualifier score with Floosh at fifth. So 3,800 to like 3,700. It's like the whole, like, 100 points for 32 people is not 32, but 28 is entirely a narrow kind of field, you know? So I think it's going to be a really good tournament overall.
I was just looking between qualifiers 15, 16, 17, and 18. So those four quals, three of them were won by E-Cola. The other one was won by Mr. Mario.
Wow. That's crazy.
But I was hearing, Rafa was telling me on in his interview after his bracket race, was that Marco did like, like 12 quals or something like that, and if it was his last eight that counted, he would have scored over 4,000 points.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, and then, but because it was the first eight that counted, he was like the 23rd seed or something, like
27.
He could fact check that for me, but, like, yeah, so that's what he said on the in the interview, which is, like, makes sense because actually he was, like, doing quite well in the later qualifiers. He won one. He won qual seven.
Yeah, what would that look like if everyone got to play up to 20 quals? I would all count. Would that be good? Or would that be not good?
Just imagine that. Yeah. Yeah, 17, 18, 19, Marco came second. In all, it was like three quals back to back. Marco came second.
I feel like that would be a nightmare, Soda.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've definitely been feeling it of just, like, people that have full-time jobs can't really, like, compete with E-Cola, right? Like, I feel like we need an unemployed bracket and an employed bracket, like, for next season or something. just to make it like, you know, a little bit more, you know, fair. But
who says he doesn't have a job? Why would he not have a job?
Twitch, man.
Plays like all the time, man. Yeah.
Full time streaming.
Don't see how he jobs. Hundreds of viewers. You need like you need so many viewers to be able to do this full time on Twitch. Like,
I just looking at this table too. Like, I just want to give a quick shout out to the German scene. Seti only played 5 races, and he's 9th seed. Like, that's wild. Then we have, where's Brode at? I know I saw Brode here.
Brode's 19th. Well. He played 6, yeah.
19th and 6 races. Like, holy shit, man. Talk about consistency. Like, that's really good. You just don't even have to, like, getting 9th place with 5 races is actually insane.
Yeah, 2 1Ks, 2 900s, and a 970.
Yeah, okay. Like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. No reason to play anymore.
Like, Seti's basically got 3 1Ks, 1K 990, 987, 970, 905. So, like, yeah, just it's crazy. Definitely next level in terms of like what I was doing. I was doing like 940, 925, you know, not quite at that level, but yeah. So, at least for the people that it qualified, was there. Oh yeah, how many are new? Because I said 8 people would be all new.
Yeah, I was actually gonna work this out before that. You said 8 new people.
It's not 8 new people. I know that, but like, Seti, that's his first. Like, I'm pretty sure.
If you just think like top that, like never been top 32 before. So like first time top 32.
It was Seti, Rafa. No pawns, Alpha. Obviously not. Well, yeah, I guess Harem. Nastriel. Weighty Words. Chalensoa. Oak. And I guess that's it. Yeah.
So it's 9. So actually, I was a little bit under my guess before, but.
Oh, Pyra. Yeah. Forget about Pyra.
Oh, is that his first one too? Jeez.
I think Zeph, so.
Zeph's not been the top 30.
Oh, and Zeph. Bro. And Zeph, yeah. So that's actually 10 then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And also, wait, I'm just checking Mifruchi. Mifruchi's not been in the top 10 before. Not top 10. Top.
32 and what about Duke? 11.
What about Duke?
Duke has.
I think Duke has in the past. Yeah.
Duke was 6.
So you got to remember too, because Duke was like MIA for a little bit too. So.
Oh, Duke, yeah, he was the 7th seed in season 6. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So we've got loads. There's loads of them.
Wow, 10 people. Maybe the top 32.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
Nice. Yeah, I just think it just plays out a little bit differently than it has in the past. And I think everyone's done a really good job, even if they haven't really made top 32. Just kind of across the board, just really good performances all around. So hats off to the community for just cranking it out and just doing a great job racing out during S9 qualifiers. And looking at the main tournament now. So the format's a little bit changed, right? We have these like kind of mini groups, which is essentially double elimination. They've got kind of an upper bracket here, a lower bracket per like the 4 groups for the main tournament. So let's hop into these and see what they look like. We've already got a few results in. It's only been almost a week since the main tournament has begun. Any kind of standouts for you guys?
I think Nopons beating Mafruchi is, you know, a pretty big deal, if you ask me. Then Rafa beating Pyra. I mean, Pyra was on a tear for what seemed like the entire qual period, at least from the races that I raced with him in. Like, he raced really well, so, I mean, I'm a little shocked that he lost his first match in round 1, but,
Yeah, he definitely cooled down a bit for like the final two kind of quarters. I think both his final quarters or something like that didn't count or didn't add too much onto it. But yeah, I commentated that match between Rafa and Pyra last night, and Pyra, it was actually like a really interesting scene until Pyra forgot to get the small key. He just mispeaked the small key chest in the cracked wall.
In water temple. Okay.
Yeah. And then kept a boomerang in the BK chest, and so didn't have enough keys to get round to the Dartlet Link, thinking that you needed the iron boots. Then he went on a search for the iron boots, and that was it. It was over. So that was a bit of a sad ending to that one. That would have been actually quite a close race. And I like the Ecola Schulze match. Like Schulze threw that. Like he absolutely threw that race.
How so?
He was, I can't remember the particulars of it, but he was searching for his go mode that Ecola had already got. He was looking for something else. And Schulze, instead of going to Ganon's, went to Stonefire. I was like, oh, okay, right. That's probably not the option I would have gone down. I don't know if it was a case of trying to big brain it, but he was actually ahead in that race. So he's now down in the losers bracket versus Mifruchi.
Tough matchup.
Yeah, Xavi Seisei, that's a repeat of a semi-final or something like that I was reading. And Xavi won that one. So
that was a
match.
Mr. Mario versus Okishi. My God. That was another
match
one
of the whole tournament.
Oak should have won, crazy. Man. Oak should have won. If like he, I would say Oak threw. I mean, the pressure was on. He was ahead for the majority of the seed. And then I think it came down to a decision as to, I forget what dungeon. I think he was supposed to go in the shadow. If he progressed in the shadow, he would have, before going child and going into his child too, I think it would have, the result would have been different. But he ended up opting to like go child and clear out well, which bled some time. But even after that, he still had a chance when he eventually went back in the shadow. And I think he also forgot to get a small key and then ended up having the save warp.
It was in the shadow pot. So he looked at it. It was on screen, like silver, like it looks like a small key. But in the moment, he thought it looked red. So he just left. God. And then was kind of staring at a locked door right before the shadow boat, right?
Yeah,
oh, no. What do you do? Nightmare scenario. Like,
yeah.
You go, like, which chest is it? I think I would have checked my map, first of all. I know
you
didn't
just
do that.
You skip so many chests, though, don't you?
Where yeah.
Just, like, brown chests. I don't think that helps.
You have to go backwards in the wind tunnel room, which is not free, and it's kind of slow, but it definitely would have saved them time here. I don't know if it would have been enough time, but there's multiple points where everyone was thought he was gonna win. So kind of crazy. And Mario just kind of kept playing the seed, chugging along, and it ended up being good enough. So winning that match, going against Volk for the second round. Xavi won that match against Seisei as well. Was going to get paired up against Seti, who won against Renestrial. Nico goes against Nopons. This is in the first group. The second group here was the Mario Volk matchup. Flea beat Rockshock last night. That was a fun one that I commentated with Lefty last night.
Oh, nice.
And it was pretty chill for the most part. Until it wasn't. So it was just a lot of really wacky item locations. Kind of the highlight of it was your go mode, at least for Flea, was Strength 2 and Stone Shadow for Spirit, which was at GTG. So you had to go, like, somehow go out there and somehow just go in there and just get it. And not only that, but it was Iron Boots on Crater Fairy. So, like, you go to field because it's Path Rova. You look at the Mirror Shield and Tektite, and both of the players, Flea and Rockchalk, they both just pretty promptly went to Crater Ferry, found iron boots, and then Reed went there and then went to Fire at Lake. Like, it was a lot of like very same kind of plays that both players did, just wildly different sequencing that ended up influencing the match outcome, which was definitely interesting. There's some other ones too that I forget exactly in terms of item placement, but definitely one to go watch back for sure. And third group here, Marco beat Tanjo.
Yeah.
And is going to face off against Rafa.
That was a rough one, dude.
That was Tanjo's great. I like Tanjo. What a poor performance that was. That was brutal right from the start, from the get-go of deciding to go child. And like, Tanjo's got this idea of like going like adult river and going to adult CAC. Why would you change that? I don't understand why you would do something completely different to just because you're playing Marco. I don't like, you're the higher seed. You should have the advantage in this. Like, you've been playing great. Do what you've been doing normally. And it was just, it was wild. It was like dipping into Stone Forest. Like, it was, there was so many issues. And, you know, there's just a bomb bag on Man on Roof, right? CAC. Just that Marco got, you know, first check
immediately.
It was quite heartbreaking because Tanjo's been on this tear. He's been doing really, really well, really well in pre's, really well in quals, and then to get to this match and be like, look, you can beat Marco and that would be huge, and he just fell apart, and it's such a shame.
Yeah, I think he's had a little bit uneven performances across the qualifiers. Some of them he did really poorly in, and then others he did, you know, like top seven pretty confidently. And it's kind of been that way with his pickup races too. I looked into it a few days ago, but you go to like his race time page, it's either bad or really good. I mean, there's not really a lot of in between. So kind of not surprised by that outcome too much, just because that like consistency issue for him. But overall, he's been doing great though. Don't get me wrong, but I think that consistency issue is definitely is there. And he's not the only one either, but
I mean, it just comes down to like, I feel like he just metagamed himself out of that race. Like, immediately.
It's hard to kind of switch gears too, right? Like, he just came off qualifiers where you're like probably relatively playing pretty safely and just doing things in a certain way that you don't really even have to think about. These sorts of things of like where your opponent could go, what is he most likely to do, what should I do in response to that kind of a thing. But if you go too far down that line of thinking, I feel like it just gets a little jumbled and messy and you kind of lose sight of the bigger picture, right? And suddenly you're doing things that are like actively bad just because you think it might be like a slight advantage like here and there. So I think it's a really easy trap to fall into. But yeah, just switching from gears from the qualifiers to 1v1s, it's a skill all of its own, I think.
I think that this setting has just shown like how important it is to have a strong, and we talked about this before, about having a strong start to the point where my starts from now on, because this is what I was kind of doing, what you were saying, Emo, like you think you're doing something a bit like kooky and you think you're following something, and actually in the end, it doesn't even matter because you're just 10 minutes behind because you've done like stupid stuff. It just ends up from quirky to just being dumb. And that's why my starts now, independent of whatever happens, my start is adult CAC, Lon, Child Woods. That is it. I follow those exact three things. It might be in a different order, depending if you child or adult start or where you spawn as child. But that is it. That is the order. And I don't do anything else now after. And then after I've done those three things, I will think about what's the next step.
I think it's a pretty good approach. I have my game plan to be a little bit more malleable than that. So I kind of just react to the seed more than I like go in with that kind of plan. Of course, I'm going to go like Lon and Lost Woods, those sorts of things. But overall, I think it's more about Sphere Zero checks, really. And hence, and as long as you're getting a lot of those checked off, like on your route, your opener, then it should go pretty well for you. So like Child Cax, kind of, it was like kind of niche before, but now it's, I think, pretty solidly okay, especially if you have ZL to get a song or you route in Dampe for time of day. Personally, I like to do Dampe, Chickens, Day and Night Market all in Child One. Then I just feel like I don't really, I'm not going to get like super screwed over by like time of day, for instance. Yeah. It's just like a really critical early mechanic that you don't, if you take it out of your route completely in the mid to late game, it's way better. It's just one less thing that you have to think about. You're already thinking about where your dungeon entrances are and, you know, path priority potentially. So there's a lot of things kind of going around, and the amount of information, but just the different types of information as well, makes that a little bit more viable, I think, just for me. But
my counterpoint to that, quick counterpoint, it's slow.
Yeah.
Waiting for time of day is slow. I think it's a good qual mentality. I don't think it's a good 1v1 mentality.
That's fair.
I'm sitting here just listening to you guys just air yourselves out. Just letting everybody know what your tendencies are.
I get to the point where I'm like, you know, Mike Vrabel in the Super Bowl trying to hide my plays or something. Like, no, like, I don't, it's a fucking...
He's covering his controller with a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, no, not interested in that whatsoever. Like, it also doesn't matter, like, well, I say it also doesn't matter. Everybody knew that Tanjo was like, would do Foolish River for the hints, but, well, that actually didn't work out that way, so...
Yeah, I don't view it as that big of a deal, just because I'd rather people learn about the different kinds of viewpoints people have about Rando too. It's great that we disagree on this. Like, it's kind of showcases that. But you know, being top seeded Challenge Cup, I think it's going to be very easy road for the most part, at least out of groups, and we'll see what happens in the bracket. But like my first group matchup here against Durax, he didn't score anything above my lowest like disaster qual. So like, just in terms of points and that kind of difference, I'm not really worried at all. I'm just going to play exactly the same as I did in quals, and it'll probably be good enough. But
just be careful, dude. I was top seed two seasons ago as well, and yeah, I got 0-3.
You got roasted. You got roasted, bro.
You never know.
Your guard down, whatever you do.
I was going to say, talking of not knowing what's going to happen, I want to talk about Zephy Cola in the final pool of this. Talking of Tanjo's shit show. God, Zef, this was a shit show, and somehow you still won. And I like spent 6 minutes in Child DC doing the flame skips in Child DC, and still was able to win it. Impressive, even though I made all the videos to send to him. He was like, "I've watched your videos about like the Child DC skips," and it's like, well, I didn't watch them long enough because yeah, it was an absolute disaster. But he won it, and it's great. I hate that Mel is just like correct, because on the podcast she was like, Zeph's gonna be the dark horse, and I hate that she's correct in this, because he's now in the winner,
the 14th semis. Seed or 13th seed rather. So I don't know, I think he was, yeah, just very, very solid overall. He has been in S9. And yeah, I think he'll make it to top 16. I'll make that claim right now. Like, I think he's good.
He's got to play Ryukane, and then he might have to play like Mashi or Exodus in the tiebreaker. So let's not count our chicken.
He did face off against Exodus and won. and in person SGL though too. So
in person's like this is different.
Yeah,
basically playing a different game at that point. Like
basically, yeah, playing
Twilight Princess. Like.
So I don't know. I don't know. I think mentally, I don't think he's like, you know, he's not out of it. I think he just has to play the seed and see where it falls. But yeah, Rekane's definitely one of the top performers for sure. Fourth in the qualifiers. Just absolutely stellar gameplay overall. So we'll see how that one goes. And then the other side of that bracket, again, Drew beat Exodus just a little bit ago. It was pretty close, about 2 minutes of time save between the two in terms of finishes. So Drew is going to be facing off against either Floosh or Weighty Words. I think it's just going to be Floosh. I think they're playing right now, but looking pretty heavily favored towards Floosh, which is not very surprising.
They are playing right now. And I can tell you an update on the seed.
Oh, okay.
Is that Floosh has all the medallions, but he is in glow mode. He needs a strength to get the light arrows out of Spirit Temple. Weighty Words is a dungeon behind. But apparently his, I don't know, they've got... The restream has him in go mode, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. And they have the lights marked as well.
So. Oh, okay. Well,
was in Child Spirit? It's not in,
oh, maybe it's in GTG. I don't actually know. I have no idea now.
Huh.
I have no idea.
Is there a command? I guess
we'll follow command? Up.
Hold on, we'll let me ask. Up. Where were lights?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could just ask. Yeah, for the pod.
For the pod, please.
We are live. Don't make us look stupid.
GTG Wolfos Room.
Oh,
thanks, well, Haram.
GTG. Sorry. Who is that guy?
Right here. Fuck you, Drew. Anyway.
Oh, so Lady might actually win that one then. Interesting.
Well, no. Floosh only needs the light arrows, and Weighty's in Jabu doing Jabu now. So.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Floosh might die again, and
I always hate when we have to say that, like on commentary, just to like you know, not make it like totally boring, like for the last 20 minutes, but like. I swear that's happened like every restream for S9 so far. And I think we should just be okay with like, yep, this person's winning. Just talk about something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
there is the new method, the baseball method.
Oh, what's that?
I just completely forgot what it was in the Tanjo match. Tanjo did Valley Lake and in Valley, the hint was Valley is foolish. And baseball types. I'm sorry, brother. Just like, that's just the nicest way of being like, it's over. It's over. Like, it's done. You're cooked. Sorry.
Live update again. Floosh just picked up the light arrows. So,
right. Okay.
He is now heading to, he's heading to Nocturne. I'm guessing he's got FW and Ganon's. So.
I mean, there's a lot of great matches in this, like, kind of second round. Like, that's going to be Drew and. Floosh, Ryu, and Zephyr. We got Marco, Rafa, Mario, Volk, Zavi, Seti, Ikola, Nilpons. Like, those could go either way for pretty much all of those, I think. So, if anything, I think we'll have a lot of really good matches on our hands. And we're not even into the bracket yet, which is also going to be best of three this season, for season 9. So, a lot of rando yet to be played. Like, another, like, 2 months or so. Before we're down to like maybe top 8, top 4. And we'll see how that plays out. Also, we didn't even talk about it, but qualifier 13, Sponge just kind of showed up and won.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
We didn't even talk about like, that.
He was in my stream the day afterwards. Mm. And he was just like, I was just bored and had nothing to do.
Okay.
I just thought I'd come and win a qual and just like off he pops. Like, Just love.
Hey, that's not usually my day to day, but you know, for someone like Sponge, it's just a completely different world he lives in. So he can just stroll into a qual and win. It's awesome. It's awesome to see. Yeah.
It's just funny, like, because I feel like this season we were talking about, like, it's very rewarding for people who like practice and like put in the time and do like a bunch of pickup races and whatnot. And then, like, again, Sponge just shows up. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I actually counted the number of VODs I had the other day, and it was about 50 plus S9C. So I think it's like in the range of 60 that I've played so far up to this point. And it doesn't really feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's still only like one, maybe two a day. And I haven't played in like 4 or 5 days now. It's been a minute. But yeah, it's just very fun settings overall. I've been having a blast with them, if anything.
That's great. I haven't.
I mean, it's a Dungeon ER season. I mean, it's hard to not at least like baseline enjoy, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, they are fun. They are fun.
Okay, something for everyone in them. And then I guess we'll talk a little bit about Challenge Cup. But that's about all we got for the episode for today. A little bit of a short one for you. Mostly just S9 stuff. Talking about the qualifiers a little bit. But Challenge Cup, hey. The groups were drawn this week. And let's take a look at them.
Yeah. This is following the format that the main tournament is using. So this was like, because there was more pools and the way that they were making the pools were really, and it was like manually drawn, and there was an error from the chimp hands as well. Somebody was in the wrong pot. It was just like trying to understand what was happening in the draw was just a bit of a mind melt. But yeah, it was kind of like the top eight, the bottom eight, and then the middle eight. Well, the middle 16 were in one pool, and then like the second, third eight, and second bottom eight, whatever, are in groups with each other. I think the groups are very varied. I can't see anything that is like an overly like powerful group or like group of death kind of thing. I actually think it was quite evenly distributed. I don't know how you feel about Louis Ferns being in your group, actually, Emo.
I think it's fine. So if we take a look here.
Emo's piece of cake.
Yeah, Louis Ferns, whatever. Like, I mean, I actually thought he just wasn't going to play. I think he kind of stated he wasn't going to play, so... Yeah, a little bit of sandbagging there going on. Don't know if I like that.
I have to take a closer look. I mean, he only played 5 races and ended up 59th, so he's definitely a real player. But I'm on the other side against Durax, and then maybe play him. It's going to be Louis Ferns and Levi. Love Levi, but
yeah,
I think he's going to lose to Louis Ferns. So, I mean, I could see him beating him, like. Maybe he has more experience with S9, and that goes a long way, but
we'll see what happens. I was speaking to Levi like during the draw, and he was like saying like he's been in Challenge Cup 3 times, and this is the first time he's got in from his own accord rather than just dropped.
Oh. Yeah, so he's kind of on top of his game then. I mean, I think he also said it was like the best he's ever done in qualifiers as well, so... 74th seed as well. Got to shout out the 3 people that I coach currently, all made it in Challenge Cup. That is Lefty, who needed like basically a 900 plus to even qualify, and he did like on this last qualifier. That was great. It was, I think, top 5, I want to say. It was a great performance. And we also have Kitstifer. He's gotten a lot better since last year. Didn't make Challenge Cup last year at all, so huge improvement for him. And my newest person that I've coached is Fox TC, who started playing in August. Yeah, very good performance from him as well. Glad they all made it. No one got left out or anything. So
that's awesome.
But overall, yeah, I don't really see too many of these being especially scary groups. The rest of the people in my group, at least, we got Cranks, T Grenadier, Alexo, Shino. I don't know who that is. So it's really just Louis Ferentz that, like, I think I could probably lose to myself. Out of the other groups, let's take a look here.
I'm annoyed that, like, I might have to play Martin if we both win our matches. So.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see Martin, though.
I'm not happy about that. So, like, and like, it's either Martin or Baelnog. I'm just like, great, I've got, like, an actual, like, vet to play, like, second round, potentially. I don't know if, like, anybody that you're thinking, maybe that you like the look of to take it down. I'm looking at Manu. I'm looking at Mazen de Manu. I think he's gonna be really, really good this season.
He's gonna win the whole Challenge Cup, you think?
Yeah, I think I'm my two finalists. I'm picking Manu, and I am going to pick Manu. Let's have Manu and Emo. Let's have Manu, Emo.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that. Go on, then. I'll give you some juice.
All right. I mean, I think Wooden Barrel could do really well, but I think he needs to play more S9, personally. I really just played, like, some quals, and that was that. Don't see him streaming or doing pickup races or anything like that, so...
Defending champion.
Yeah, that is true. I'm worried how comfortable he is with, like, certain situations in S9, you know. But we'll see. Yeah, a lot of the other groups kind of feel pretty even, honestly. Even though we're all not, like, top 32, we're still, like, fairly close in the skill level, especially with the format. What it is, just being a double elim, essentially, is still scary. I mean, you still have to make it to brackets, and it'll also be best of three, I believe, for Challenge Cup as well this season.
Yeah, they should be mirroring us, like, yeah, to the team.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah,
even the rules. Delay, I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, that's pretty big. I mean, I think it's just a good thing for tournaments that, you know, that should be high in importance, you know? So I think it's only a good thing, mostly. I think most people have computers that are good enough to do it, right? Like, you don't need, like, a super insane setup or anything, so.
Well, like, I understand why, like, you wouldn't want to do it for restream, too. Like, I know, like, ZSR has, like, an automated system to handle the restreams, whereas TSG doesn't, so it makes it a little more difficult. But, like, I don't know, man. I've always been one... I've always been in support of, like, the participants. Like, I don't really care too much about the restreams. Like, the delay is just more secure for the tournament as a whole. So, like, you know, if it makes it more difficult to put on restreams, so be it. I'd rather have that security for the players.
No, I've pretty much been of that mindset as well. Like, we need it even more. We need, like, a BPM that everyone connects to. We need, like, you know, a person over your shoulder looking at you, like, you know. Not quite there yet, but
I just want to say I fought tooth and nail for that last year, so you're welcome. And if you didn't want delay, then I'm sorry. But I don't know. That was it was always weird to me that, you know, main tournament
didn't use it.
Yeah, like, they didn't use it, but main tournament did. But it was, you know, it was supposed to be, they were supposed to work in tandem with each other. It was just weird. So I'm glad they made that change.
I think it'd be good if other tournaments used it, honestly. We'll see if, I don't know if random settings is coming back. I've heard zero anything. It's been like 6 months or something since that tournament ended. But mixed pools is happening this year. Update there. Going to be the fifth year in a row. Half a decade of mixed pools. It's crazy.
Nice. I don't know. Maybe I'll play that this time. Nah, I'm not going to.
You're not gonna play.
It is a lot different. It is a lot different. I mean, I think we'll get...
I like playing it casually. I don't like playing it competitively.
That's fair. I do think we'll get some renewed interest this year, just because the main tournament has Dungeon ER, right? So hey, just crank the dial up a little bit more, you know? So it's different play patterns, that sort of thing. A lot more exploration based. But still, like last year, you can still open your menu just like S9. It shows you where all the rewards are because they're all in the bosses and those are random. So it's still like field, cack, Kakuri, Goron City, Honda Wasteland, or, you know, something crazy. But yeah, we'll see how it shakes out, if we'll do any changes. Lots to look forward to, really, for Randomizer. Right? Just in general, a lot of S9. If you like S9, you're going to be feasting for the next like couple months. So, but not a lot happening outside of the main tournament or Challenge Cup. I think everything else is done, right? There's no side tournaments. It's too quiet. We're in the eye of the storm right now.
Which honestly, I'm fine with.
I'll answer a question that's been asked in the mailbag.
Okay.
One of the questions is, Chuckles, when are you hosting the Slug Open? And the answer to that question is, watch this space.
Watch the space?
Yeah.
So it's happening.
Have to wait and see?
Fuck you, dude.
Slug Open.
there's been a little more discussion about it. So that's something potentially in the works. I know Multi World is also being planned as well.
Yeah. Okay. I did read that actually. The other day.
What would the Slug Open be? Just a tournament or what?
We ran a test about 3 years ago. And
wait, what?
we ran a test 3 years ago in a lab in an underground.
I posted the feedback form for the Slug Open test on the 4th of the 6th, 2024.
So what the fuck happened for the past 2 years?
Every time there was a meetup, we were like, we're going to organize the Slug Open.
And then I think we
just got too drunk.
Oh my god, dude. Okay, so I'm not going to hold my breath for this announcement because like it sounds like it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
You can't blue ball the people who ask questions in the mailbag like that.
Sure you can.
Oh my god.
Should we do some more questions?
We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. Well, we've got 8 questions left. I can do a couple of these. Bonus mailbag.
Bonus mailbag.
Why do the race mods hate French people?
What?
That's one of the questions. And to answer this question, I've gone into the race mod active penalties. And I will say, there's quite a lot of people with minor infractions that aren't French. So I'm going to say...
They're all emulator players, right?
Nothing
else, isn't it?
Wait. Yeah, the race mods hate emulator players.
When did this question come in?
That came in on the 12th of January, 2026.
I was trying to line this up with the whole Marco and dungeon entrances on the stream to see if it had anything to do with that, but I don't think it does.
So it's around about qualifier 6.
Because I'm sorry, that shit was ridiculous.
Absolutely insane. Yeah, which actually, it links to another question, which is, what audio is required to meet the Race Time GG global rules?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Okay, my thing about the whole thing. Okay, so Marco, the background story. Marco got warned, and this is like public information. Marco put it in his Discord. He got warned for having a tiny, tiny, tiny overlay over his feed that had the dungeon entrances on them. Like, it was when this was explained to me, I was like, I bet it was huge. It's like, no, it's literally tiny, like smaller than the map, right?
Hold on,
like
I
half
have a
the
picture.
Size of the map. Post a picture.
I posted it. Yeah, I gotta find it.
Yeah. And so it was like, okay, so it's not a complete visual form, right, of the game. Okay, right, whatever. We'll ignore like alerts and stuff like that and whatever, like, and how that happens. And that's allowed. But if you flip it to like thinking about audio and what is a clear audio representation, and like someone like Zeth, who plays other music over his audio, looking at the audio, like the auditory modality, that is disrupting the sensory input of the game audio in the same way this is inputting the visual input of the game audio. So how can one be not allowed and how can the other be fine?
I'll push back on that, because you can roll a seed without music, like on the website altogether, and just have like in-game sound effects. So like you can effectively replace
what audio is required. The answer. But why did we go through this whole shenanigans of Sponge having to put a microphone next to his TV so you could hear his game audio? And that went on for ages.
Well, you still need game audio.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't not have game audio. You still need audio.
You can't have game audio, but you can turn the game audio off. What is the difference?
You're not turning the game audio off. You still have sound effects like of the game. Like the monsters and like Link and all. You can't turn that off.
You can't turn that off.
No, you can't. But, you might be able to turn Link's voice
when you've
off.
When you've got a song overlaying over that, you're disrupting the sensory like understanding of what that is, in the same way that having this visual thing is in a very, very minor way disrupting the visual view of the scene.
Well, yeah. you could separate it in the recording. So like, for instance, Zeph could stream with music and then take it out in the recording that he has if needed, right? So like, you could just do that baseline, but I don't know. I don't think it's more of just like an audio balancing issue. As long as you don't have the music like blaring like way over like all the sound effects and everything, as long as you can actually hear both, then I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think it's kind of comparing apples to oranges. I think the whole overlay thing, like just looking at this picture, it makes me sick, dude. Like, this is fucking ridiculous, if I'm being honest.
It's not covering
like,
anything necessarily.
It's transparent. It's not even like it's a giant rectangle on the screen. You can literally see through it. Like, I don't understand. And the timer, you know how many people I've seen streaming rando that have their timer on top of their game feed? Like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit too rules lawyering, I think, a little bit. Like, it just doesn't feel great. Like, as a runner, it's just, if it's not like if it's not like covering Link's model like in the middle, and like it's a picture of dick butt or something stupid, like, it's, you know, who cares? Like,
yeah, well, I mean, again, like to Chuckle's point, like if it was blown up to scale and it took up like half the fucking screen, like,
sure, okay. Yeah. not like probably that's probably less than 10% of the screen.
Dude, if I'm watching on a normal Twitch player, I have to squint to see this. Like,
yeah.
you can't even read it. Like, I don't know. It's sigh.
Any more questions on the mailbag?
Another question is Chuckles an awful friend, like Vava said?
What the fuck?
And the answer to that question is, I'm an awful friend to whoever you are. So get fucked.
Ooh.
It's kind of weird questions.
Yeah, I don't know. What are we doing?
That's going to do it for us on the podcast today. Thank you again for Chuckles and Jimbo for joining me.
On the path. Episode 67.
Dude, I always expect you to talk like right away, so I just don't talk. Anyway, it's been a blast being here with you guys as always. Until next time. What the hell was that?
That's what I'm supposed to say.
That's not your bit. That email's bit.
Huh? No, I meant for me. Like, until next time. Like, I'll talk to you guys.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't signing off the podcast. I would never do that.
The Gossip Stone Podcast.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Where's Rachel?
We gotta get the fuck out of here.
Hello there, and welcome to the Gossip Stone Podcast, where we cover the Ogre's Time Randomizer.
Alright, and we'll see you next time on the Gossip Stone Podcast.